Ladies and gentlemen, we present the TV Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. In television, apart from your regular salary, there are all sorts of perks or bits of bunce flying about. I mean, someone's going to cop those mod-con flats in that house Barry Bucknell's been doing his nut in for months. And who gets those free Sunday papers David Frost quotes from in That Was the Whatever It Was on Saturday night?
Guess who?
I never doubted it. However, one of the more legitimate fiddles is the journey at the company's expense. This time, when the production team enter Mr. Povey's office, they find themselves going a lot further afield than they ever expected.
Good morning, Mr. Povey. And if you wanted to see us about last week's program, we do have an explanation.
Yeah, it's pretty dodgy, but it's the best we could do. I mean, it wasn't our fault that none of the viewers could see the cookery class because of all that smoke coming out of the oven.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask, just what was burning in there?
Nothing. Just the oven. It was the wrong voltage.
The least said about that, the better. Somebody used a 6-inch nail instead of a fuse wire. And 2 power stations burnt out before that melted.
You know, I thought it was jolly warm in the studio that evening.
Well, never mind about that now. It's your next program I want to talk to you about. Strangely enough, TTV viewing figures are going up every week. It's a horrible thought, but people stay switched on to our channel, not for the programs, but just to see what sort of a prismatic clanger you'll drop this time.
Unkind lot.
Excuse me, hello?
Is that you?
Of course.
Well, this is me. Hello?
Hello? What do you want, Vera?
I could tell you.
Yes, well, don't. Go on, Vera.
What about? Oh, yes. Them.
Them.
That's right, them. They're here, them are. Them are, they here are. Can I ring you back?
No. Vera, who are them? I mean, who is they?
Could I help, sir? I mean, this is my kind of language.
All right, thank you. I've got it now. Vera, who am they?
Them.
Shall I nip out sword and see who them is?
No, thank you. I won't be beaten. Vera, try to concentrate. Who is out there?
Us. Me and them. The couple that do all them walking about in foreign jungles taking snaps program.
Oh, them.
Yeah, them.
Well, ask them to come in at once.
All right, then. Toodaloo for a bit.
Toodaloo for a bit? But really, honestly, where do they find them?
Find who?
Them.
Them? Who's them?
Philip, please. None of us are getting any younger. What is all this about, sir?
Well, as I said, it's about your next program. For the sake of my own peace of mind, I've decided to send you abroad as the film unit on a safari with Maggie and Arnold Crump.
Maggie and Arnold Crump? Oh, yeah, I've seen their programs about wildlife before. It's called, Up the Creek with the Crumps.
Yeah. Usually you see more pictures of them than the animals.
Possibly, but from my point of view, I'd feel a lot happier with you three out of the country for a bit. Come in.
Greetings, Crump lovers.
We bring you jolly, splendid, shiny beads from far-off white man's country across the big sea.
No, dear. This lot are English.
Rather, to the core. And, core again. I wouldn't mind being up the Zambezi without a paddle with her.
Mr. Phillips, we're not supposed to be doing that sort of back-to-nature program.
Pity.
Allow me to introduce you to Mr. Murray, Mr. Phillips, and Mr. Pertwee. They are the production team who will be going with you as the film unit for your next program.
May one be so bold as to ask,
What in?
Oh, by all means, we have our own cruiser.
A cruiser? Lummy, we should be safe enough in that. They've got 4 6-inch guns, 6 torpedo tubes, AK-AK guns...
Mr. Phillips, sir.
A speed of over 30 knots. What is it, Percy?
I don't think it's that sort of a cruiser, sir.
No?
No, it's more likely to be a motor cruiser, sir. A Luximurious, once round the lighthouse for a dollar type cruiser.
Yeah, you got it. Crump's Craft, they're called.
And everyone has my signature on her little rudder.
Yeah.
I take it you have one of those pens that write underwater.
It's done with a little rubber stamp, if you must know, and it costs us $1.50 wholesale.
Greatly appreciated by your public, I'm sure. Arnold.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say so. Harry.
Harry. Harry Povey.
Sorry, pardon, sir.
Thank you. Johnny.
Yeah.
When do we embark for this safari?
Tomorrow morning. You'd better take Goldstein with you as film cameraman. And I'd be obliged if you would see that he not only takes cameras with him, but also some film.
Just where might we be going on this trip?
Africa.
Africa? But we can't go there. I mean, the chaps there aren't English.
Exactly, sir. Exactly, they talk foreign at you. Mr. Phillips is right. No place for the likes of us. No place at all. We might catch something or something.
Well, just so long as you don't start something or something. I don't care. You'll report to Mr. and Mrs. Crump's cruiser at Tilbury at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and sail for Africa.
Do we bring the sandwiches or do they?
Mr. Murray.
Leave it to me, sir. After all, I've got very nearly 24 hours to explain it to him, and even with Mr. Phillips, that should be almost enough.
Well, let's see you on board, then.
Rather. And don't forget to show us the signature on your rudder, will you?
Oh, naughty boy.
Oh, stone me. Oof. It's horrible lot, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, you know, we really ought to have brought Fatso Johnston with us. In this heat, he'd have lost 2 tons.
If you're suggesting that I'm not capable of filming this lot, I'd like to have it in writing so that I can use it as evidence at the next union meeting to explain why I did a wildcat halfway up the Zambezi.
Now, steady down, Goldstein. I'm sure Mr. Pertwee didn't mean anything of the sort.
Then tell him to watch it in future, because it hasn't escaped my notice that I'm only TTV's second cameraman purely because I happen to be Welsh. This insult to the flag of the fair land of Wales was duly noted by my Aunt Morpeth when she addressed a vast meeting of 64 at Cardiff Arms Park recently, and an overwhelming majority of 33 voted in favour of a sit-down protest outside the House of Lords about it.
I don't remember reading about that.
No, well, it didn't happen, actually. On the day the vast gathering were due to sit down, it snowed, and only Aunt Morpeth turned up. She sat down, but everybody thought she'd had one over the 8 and walked on.
Now, what a shame.
No, it was more than that. It was a disaster. She decided to pack it in after 2 hours, then found she couldn't because a certain part of her anatomy had frozen to the pavement. And Uncle Di had to come all the way from Swansea with a packet of salt to get her back. Last letter I had said she'd never really thawed out properly since. She just keeps running round and round the boiler, shivering.
We should have brought her on this trip.
Do you mind? Goldstein's like Mr. Phillips.
And one of his type of board is dodgy enough.
Hello, you chaps. Lovely day.
Mr. Phillips, I'm sure it's a lovely day every day. Where have you been?
Oh, on the bridge. Just giving the skipper the benefit of my nautical experience.
Oh, I bet that went down well, sir.
Now, that's a strange thing. It didn't. Just because I told him how to sail his boat, he turned quite shirty.
Your professional jealousy, sir.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, I persuaded him he was reading his chart wrong, made him turn left and come up this part of the river.
You did what?
Well, it's true. He had no idea how to read his charts. You're not going to believe this. He wanted to go straight on up the main stream. And if we'd done that, we'd have been aground by now.
What the blazes?
That's odd. We're aground. Now, how did that happen?
Where is he? Where's that blonde shuttin' like a shipwrecker? Hey, turn left, he says. And look what happened. Yeah, we probably rubbed Miss Crump's signature off her rudder.
Ooh, nasty.
That's him. That's the one. If you ask me, it's deliberate sabotage.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. A chap who could have my auntie frozen to the pavement is capable of anything.
Now, don't you start again, Lloyd George. Let's concentrate on how we get afloat again.
Oh, that's very simple. All we have to do is to wait another 6 months for the flood tide.
Ooh, that's handy. By then, all the film I've got will be out of date and utterly useless. Go down very well with old Thunderguts, that will. It's English film, of course. Now, if we'd had Welsh film, it would have lasted...
Mr. Murray, sir!
Yeah, what is it, Pertwee?
Do you think it would help to float this off of a certain Celtic yak box that's flung overboard, sir? As if it would, I'd be only too happy to oblige with a smart evil with a capital flads and many brave hearts last sleep in the damp and dirty.
It's quite a temptation, but we must try to resist it.
What's going on? Why have we stopped?
Deliberately run us aground, he did, Mr. Crump.
Yeah, well, not to worry. There's a trading post about a mile up here. I'll get the fellow who runs that to tow us off. Funny he hasn't turned up already. As a rule, if you run aground anywhere in the continent, he turns up with his tug within minutes.
Yeah, we had a gentleman with somewhat similar little ways when we were in the Navy, didn't we? Mr. Phillips.
Yes, yes. Pertwee's Uncle Ebenezer. It's amazing how he always used to be nearby when anything happened.
A pure blind coincidence. Have you all suggested that I so much as dropped a tiny inch as to our whereabouts in order to make a cop salvage money? I can assure you, there's not a scrap of proof anywhere.
It couldn't be. All the same, that hooter did sound remarkably like Nunky's just for a moment.
Just a hallucinogenification, sir. That was it. An hallucinogenification. Well, I will there's a thing. Fancy that, sir. What a bit of luck. It's Nunky. There, what a surprise.
Pertwee, you tipped him off that we'd be sailing around here. You must have done.
Tipped him off, sir? Me? Tipped him off? How could you, sir? If I would, mind you, I may have just sort of casually mentioned it in an express letter marked urgency. I also mentioned that Mr. Phillips would be aboard.
Who is this character with the tug? He's not the regular guy from the trading post. He comes from upriver.
Possibly, but I think he's in the same line of business. Give him a shout, Pertwee, and tell him to get us off this sandbank.
All right, with pleasure, sir. Oi! Nunky! You old fool! It's all right, you clipped! We'll split the fee, 50-50. Yeah, you skinflints. Make it half each thing. Come out, you! You'll go off the boil.
Pertwee, do you think you could leave this discussion on higher finance until afterwards?
Not likely, sir. If I don't get my cat now, you'll swear blind I never gave him a copy of the map showing exactly where we'd be.
Clang.
Yeah, quite. However, as long as you pay for the tow-off out of your own pocket, we'll say no more about it.
Very civil of you, I'm sure, sir.
Why don't you offer him jolly, splendid, shiny beads?
What was that? If it was an echo, it certainly took its time.
No, it wasn't. Look, it's another tug, upriver.
Hey, it's the guy from the trading post. There'll be a heck of a bust-up now. He won't take kindly to that fella in the tug downriver poaching his trade, will he?
Get a move on, Nunky! You've got competition. Throw us your line, quick. If you don't mind, I'm the skipper of this boat. I'll make the decisions about who's towing us off. Too late. I've got Nunky's tow rope now. Then throw it back. I'm accepting the tow from the laddie who runs the trading post.
But why, Nunky's used to all
this. Ahoy there, Angus. How's Didi and the bairn?
Stone me. The clans have gathered. Now he's on the fiddle, sir.
Throw me your line, Angus. I'm accepting your tow.
Hootsman, it's war.
And if they both pull at the same time, it's also going to be exciting.
Pull ahead, Angus. Nunky's taking the strain, sir.
Now, just a minute. Stop them. They're pulling opposite ways.
That's odd.
What is?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but with absolutely no effort at all on my part, I seem to be doing the split.
What? happening? Crump's craft is being split in half.
Mr. Murray, sir, Mr. Crump, sir.
Yeah, what is it?
I wonder if either of you could tell me, sir, whether this river is crossed.
No, not this part.
Thank you very much. Very much obliged, sir. Abandon ship! Women and Pertwee first! Last one over the side, Sir Custard!
Pertwee, stop that! Don't be ridiculous!
If you ask me, if we stop here, we'll be ridiculous. I'm facing a national disaster.
He's right! Abandon ship! Swim for the shore!
Quick, everybody! Jump for it!
Blimey. They didn't half go, didn't they?
They certainly did. Nunky's gone straight up the opposite bank and taken his half of the treasure with him.
What was that?
Well, offhand, I'd say Angus is not only back at the trading post, he's in it as well.
I say, you chaps, I just remembered something. It's jolly important.
Oh? What is it?
I can't swim.
Help, help, help.
Oh, ready, somebody, and head for the shore. Head for the shore.
Well, I'd say if we shot one more reel of film, that ought to do for this trip.
That's lovely. I'm delighted to hear it, sir. If we're only shooting one more reel, might I suggest we take some of the animals and the scenery for a change? I'm not going to know all we've taken is Maggie and Arnold Crump.
Certainly, manners.
What do you mean, manners? That wasn't me. Here, that was a lion. It's a lion somewhere open. Help! We're going to be eaten.
Don't be ridiculous. We'll be all right. We've got the crumps with us.
You mean we did have?
What?
Well, they left in a bit of hurry, like, scattering jolly, splendid, shiny beads from far off white man's country behind us.
Right, well, that's good enough for me. Goodbye, all.
Pertwee, come back. No need to panic. Lion's probably miles away by now. But steady down. Absolutely nothing to be frightened of.
Yeah, what was that?
It came from behind those bushes.
I'll tell you, that's the lion. It wants Pertwee pudding for dinner. Quiet. Quiet. Just have to shoot it.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir, do. Do, sir. It's a lovely idea, sir. Go on. Go on. Bang, bang. All gone. Go on, sir.
Only hurry up, sir, for Pete's sake.
My nerves won't take much more, sir. They're all of the jingle, jangle, jungle.
Shut up. I might be able to hear where the brute is. Goldstein, keep filming. I get some good shots once it breaks cover.
Well, then you better strap the camera on my back, because if it breaks cover, I'll be belting off the office. And that's a promise.
Quiet, quiet, both of you. Listen.
Shh. Huh? Sorry, pardon, sir. My knees.
Stand at ease for a bit. Now, where's the blasted thing gone to?
Home, I hope, sir.
Nearer. Over there.
I saw movement. How did you do? And I wish I hadn't.
Steady.
I've got a fire. Now then. Here goes.
Oh, I surrender.
One step. Blazing.
Ambassador.
Mr. Philip, come out of there.
Thank heavens you speak English. I bring jolly, splendid, shiny bees from far off white man's country.
How much?
A
What? Oh, Lummy, it's Pertwee. I thought you were a cannibal.
Vulture, perhaps.
Mr. Phillips, what on earth have you been doing? What's this idea of skulking about in the jungle like this?
I wasn't skulking. I was shopping.
Shopping? In the middle of the jungle?
Yes, well, you didn't seem to need me earlier, so I nipped back to the trading post to get some picture postcards. Well, I promised the mater I'd send some.
Always the dutiful son, but next time tell us, won't you?
Why? Did you want me to get some for you? They got some jolly good local views. I couldn't find a pillar box anywhere. I wonder what time the next post goes.
Probably about October, sir.
In that case, I don't think I'll bother, because we should be home by the day after tomorrow. Our plane reservations have arrived.
Plane reservations? Are we flying back?
Well, we don't have much choice, unless you fancy doing the journey in half a Crump's craft.
But I thought we could charter Noki's tug, sir. I sort of promised him.
Have you? Well, unpromise him, because I don't fancy doing the journey in that waterlogged old bathtub. We are flying back.
What's keeping us up? That's what I want to know. What's keeping us up?
Pardon? You'll have to be patient with him, sir. It's his first flight.
If men were meant to fly, they'd have wings. It's not natural.
Relax, Pertwee. We're a lot safer than we'd have been in Lunky's tug, I can assure you.
How do you make that out, sir? The only way he'd get up to a heck of a height like this is if the old fool had overstooped his boiler.
Yes. I think you'd better have a little something to quieten your nerves. Stewardess?
Can I get you something, sir?
A large brandy for my friend.
Large brandy? Well, it's very nice of you, sir, but it'll cost you a bomb, though.
Well, hardly. It's duty-free until we land. Hey?
Duty-free, sir.
Yeah.
Miss?
Sir?
Get us 50,000 cigarettes, 2 dozen bottles of scotch, 4 dozen gin, 8 dozen brandy, will you?
He's better.
Yes, I could have bitten my tongue out when I told him.
Hello, you chaps. Well, we'll be coming into land in a few minutes.
Oh, good. Where on earth have you been?
Me? Up on the flight deck.
Been where?
Yeah, I've been up on the flight deck chatting to the navigator. Bit of luck I did, actually.
Fasten your seatbelts, please.
Mr. Phillips, what have you done?
Saved us hours, actually, sir. Honestly, he'd no idea where he was going. He was miles, of course.
Oh, blimey. Goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, Lester Squirrel.
Quiet, Pertwee.
Coming into land now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, honestly, you think they'd put a chap on a flight like this to at least know the way to London Airport,
wouldn't you? Before you got at him, he probably did.
He didn't, you know. I went over the charts with him. And if I'd left him to plot the course, we'd have ended up in Paris. He hadn't aimed off enough for wind. The chap they were talking to on the radio wasn't any better. He wanted them to stick to their original course, but fortunately, I had my way. I worked it out on paper for them, and figures can't lie.
As we've had the misfortune to discover only too often in the past, yours can.
Well, how unkind. Still, we're at London Airport now.
Unfasten your seatbelts, please, and disembark through this door.
Now, you chaps are going to be jolly grateful to me when you find old Thunderguts waiting with a car at the reception lounge.
This way, Art, please.
Now, I hope you're right. I'll ask this official where the reception lounge is.
Bonjour, monsieur. Welcome to Paris.
No.
What is the trouble?
Oh, I think we know what the trouble is. Mr. Phillips.
Yes? Sorry. Pardonnez-moi.
Yes, but through no thanks to Mr. Phillips. Has old Thunderguts seen the film yet?
Oh, he's seeing it now. He and the controller are watching it in the viewing room.
I still don't know what happened.
Well, it was Goldstein's fault. He should have kept all the film with him.
You see, it was all stored a trifle too close to the plane's engines, and all the lids of the storage tins came off with a vibration.
Well, that took care of the pictures because they were all exposed to the light. And the magnetic field in the engines wiped off all the sound signs.
So we ended up with about 5,000 feet of completely blank film you couldn't hear.
You know, the viewers might have welcomed that as a refreshing change.
Possibly, but I doubt if GTV would have done. Must have cost them about 5,000 quid.
Here, if all your film was destroyed, what are the controller and Alexander Gatch watching now?
Well, it was Mr. Phillips...
Mr. Perch.
Mr. Murray.
Goldstein's idea.
Go on.
You know, you're worse than old Thundergut. Prettier, of course, but definitely worse.
Well, if you must know, as soon as we got back, we grabbed some fresh film out of the stores and we all slipped over to London Zoo at Regent's Park and filmed all the African animals there.
Ooh, you'll never get away with it. You'll see all the bars on the cages.
No, he won't. It took us about 4 hours, but we persuaded Goldstein to go in the cages. Oh, good morning, Mr. Bedford Shaw. Good morning, Mr. Proby.
Follow me. Come in, all of you, and let's have some sort of explanation.
You won't want me, will you, Proby, old man? Can't abide nasty scenes, you know. Got enough of them at home.
Yes, I think you should stay, sir. We'll leave, but you stay.
I agree. It's all been most unfortunate, Proby. But the program will have to go out. Perhaps these chefs can do something about the slightly unfortunate secret.
But, sir...
Excuse me for asking, sir, but what was the slightly unfortunate sequence?
Oh, nothing.
Just that from what I've seen this morning, I'm certain you never went to Africa at all. That film was taken in the London Zoo.
Oh, they went all right, Popey. I just had the bill from the aeroplane charter company. For some reason, they want to charge up for getting their plane back from Paris.
Well, of all the nerve, it was their fault. I mean, they were obviously using the wrong chart. I definitely proved that at the depth we were flying with a crosswind of 2 down and carry one over, no power on earth can pull it down.
Mr. Phillips,
They don't wish to know that, sir. Kindly leave the earth.
Preferably immediately. Mr. Povey, sir, what made you suspect our film was a fake?
Gentlemen, let's face it. The illusion that one is halfway up the Zambezi is well and truly shattered when you get a perfectly focused shot of a notice board which reads, Borough of St. John's Wood, no fishing allowed in this pond.
Mr. Phillips!
Was Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee doing an unfortunate to the TV Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the director, Stephen Murray was the producer, John Pertwee was the floor manager. Henry Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Arnold Crump was Ronnie Barker, Maggie Crump was Janet Brown, Taffy Goldstein was Daniel Evans, and the controller of TTV was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnson.